have secured the existence of our people and a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why. I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. The whole day down.
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
Germans turned on the Jews, who had more Jews living amongst them than even percentage-wise living in the United States today.
Last time there was a black guy
in this country. Jews never asked themselves this question.
I'm sure I get the answer from you now.
Yeah, I can give you the answer. Please. Because they displayed the same voracious ethnocentrism, power-grabbing influence peddling, buying of politicians, dominating of the public airwaves and the public media in Germany and so on, that they display in the United States. And I'm not much of a prophet, but that much I can say, based on history, that in the United States, mark my word, you will have Weimar conditions, and you'll have solutions to the Weimar conditions. It'll be very similar to what happened in Germany. Whatever the Holocaust war, you've got one in your future. There is no doubt in my mind that if you look at history and the trends in history, the United States is heading in the same direction. And there's only one difference. In the United States, there are enough guns out in the street and enough lawlessness in the public and a revolutionary spirit that founded that republic. This is not Germany, where the only people that had guns were hunters and soldiers and policemen. United States is armed to the teeth. They have a spirit of revolution in their blood. Their heroes are people who turn against what they call tyranny and foreign occupiers and so on.
Mr. Rockwell, there are an awful lot of people out there who seem to be laughing and jeering, and there seem to be about twice as many people as the hall will hold. Do you find this true wherever you speak?
I always draw usually the biggest crowds they've ever had, and usually the very people that shout prejudice the loudest against me prejudge my speech by jeering and shouting before they've given me a chance to be heard.
I believe the time is too short. Time is desperate. It is time to stand up and tell the whole truth and to fight for it. To organize, not as conservatives, not as Republicans, not as Democrats, not as liberals, not as Northerners, not as Southerners, not as Protestants, or religious or anti-religious or anything else, but as white men. Stand up with all our hearts and soul and unite. The blacks vote black, the Jews vote Jewish. Ladies and gentlemen, let's let the white man vote white.
There are a number of people out there with yellow armbands with a Jewish star.
Now, this is common. This is usual, too.
Mr. Rockwell, every member of that panel you testified before today is of the Jewish faith.
Are all of them?
Every member. Now, how do you feel they treated you?
Well, I think that they backed off a lot from what I think they were going to try to do. And I think the fact that a committee of the legislature of the state of New York is composed of entirely of Jews bespeaks something which I think is wrong with our country. I don't think that it's right that any group should monopolize an entire section of our legislature.
Mr. Rockwell, you have come before hearings and other meetings dressed in uniform. Why are you not dressed in a uniform today?
I have never come before any hearing dressed in a uniform. I use the uniform to agitate. When Martin Luther Coon is out in the streets agitating, why, I agitate back. And the uniform is very good for agitating. For appearing before a hearing, it's a mental battle of wits, not a battle of agitation.
Folks, always been told, and didn't you believe as I did until I was over 30 years old, I thought Jews were just a religious group. If you are a Jew, you believe in Judaism. If you abandon Judaism and deny it and become an atheist, a fanatical atheist, and attack religion, you certainly couldn't be a Jew if Jews are just a religious group, could you? This is what the Jews told me. They said there can be no such thing as a communist Jew because Jews are a religious group, and if you become a communist, you're no longer a Jew. That's what the ADL says, and I believed it. So the Jews put out a book called Who's Who in American Jewry, and who do they list who is his picture right here? But Leon Trotsky, and we find out his name is Bronstein, and he was a Jewish tailor from the Lower East Side of New York before he went over there to Russia to run the revolution. There's one of them. Remember the other guy we said, Litvinov? Imagine how shocked I was to discover it. Litvinov, that sounds like a good old Russian name, doesn't it? Well, it turns out that he's one of the tribe. His name is Finkelstein. After this speech tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you know what's going to happen to you as happened to me once? From now on, whenever they haul out one of these little communist spies, you'll notice the length of the nose. You'll never forget it.
I see some white people have finally gathered together, and you see that we're in spirit, at least we're unified. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you will stick together, that's the key. If you will cut out squabbling with each other, stick together, stop quarreling about names, we can have our country once again free, we can have it once again white, we can have it once again Christian, and above all, ladies and gentlemen, we can have it once again Christian American Republic with a wholesome atmosphere that every American can be proud of. I thank you all very much.
The thing about being white is you're not reminded of your race all the time.
You may dispense with the horseshit, Commander. I'm here to put you back on schedule.
I assure you, Lord Vader, my men are working as fast as they can.
Perhaps I can find new ways to motivate them. Gift cards, maybe?
I tell you, this station will be operational as planned.
The Emperor does not share your optimistic appraisal of the situation, White Man.
But he asks the impossible. I need more men.
Then perhaps you can tell him when he arrives.
The Emperor's coming here?
That is correct, Commander. And he is most displeased with your apparent lack of progress.
We shall double our efforts.
I hope so, Commander, for your karma. The Emperor is not as forgiving as I am. Okay, thank you.
Life could be a dream. Do 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 shaboom.
Life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and open with me to get boom. Ding dong, ding dong, a lang, a lang, a lang. Oh, 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 bip, a bip, a bip, a bip, a bip. Oh, life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Identifies as birds. Factory reset, did it work? Click, click, right in the non-binary. You can skip a pronoun, leave in the body. Right in the pavement. No surgery needed then. Transaction denied. Ooh, right in the equalize. So unless she got down in Fortnite. Trying to kick flip, learn how to do a lip slide. She's a gender fluid everywhere. It almost became a buzzword. That's a cheap
way to transition. My inner pensicle, my inner transmission. Slam, slam, right in the mystery box. Straight in the who knows what. My kids in broad at an ATM. All black page and your clam. Busted your lip for show. Dang away, the Mopedis, now was later, Tony
Hawk. Fuck the Jews.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, white Germany, white Italy, white France, white England, white Europe, white Australia, white New Zealand. Wake the fuck up. Hello, everybody. This is Giuseppe Vaffangulo. It's the Sane Asylum Based Monday, number 300. And 21. It's April 28th, the final Monday of April already. Man, how slow the weeks drag on, but how fast the months go. It's crazy, crazy thing. But welcome. I'm glad you're tuned in. Again, it is a great honor to have the heroic, legendary Alfred Schaefer be the only one on time today. So welcome, Alfred. The other boys will be joining us shortly. So what's on your mind, Alfred? We'll start with whatever you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, it's nice to be back on the show, Giuseppe, and I have to say that things are going at warp speed now.
Yeah.
And I was reading in James Mason's book Siege, and there's a couple of passages there that I was just amazed at how the insight he had so many years ago already. And I just want to read something out of this book. It's the Siege book, this one here.
There it is.
I just want to go to something that he wrote. It's from his a publication from July 1982, when he says, "History itself came to a halt in 1945. Since that time, what we have witnessed has amounted strictly to the decomposition of the dead body of what had traditionally been known as the West." You know, so soundly, so I mean, that was, you know, in that was he wrote that in 1982, and look at our condition now. In 1982, James was just a young man himself, and he had such clarity of seeing where this is leading. Well, I know myself, I was just a youngster thinking, well, we're really in a special kind of a perfect world. And I remember back at that point in time, I was a Canadian living in Canada, and I used to look so down at so many things in the United States, the system, you know, it just revulsed. I was revulsed when I saw what was going on there. And yet when I went into the States, the people were always such wonderful people. So I could never figure out how could it be that these wonderful people have such a sick, vile system. And now it all is clear why, and you know what's happened and so forth. And I'm so impressed that James Mason understood it way back then already, and what a long, long struggle it has been for him, and very frustrating to see it go to the point we find ourselves now. And I'm just so glad to have woken up and start to understand what's going on before, you know, leaving this planet, in other words, in a state of being a zombie. And that's how I look at all the people around us who don't yet get it. They risk dying sort of like a farm animal that gets slaughtered at the slaughterhouse, never knows why it was there, why it was killed and so forth. All these people that die, that go to their grave believing in the hollow hoax and not understanding anything at all, their entire existence could be defined as having been completely worthless, completely useless. And that's what's, I'm thinking of things like that these days as I see things progressing. And I also have to say that because of the rate of the people waking up now, we are going to see like I know in this book also, there's some quotations from George Lincoln Rockwell. And he says also that he cannot imagine that we are not able to get up on our feet and do whatever needs to be done. And I second that thought also. We will get up and do whatever it takes to get us back on track to have a future on this planet. So that's my thoughts for today kind of thing.
That's an excellent introductory sentiment. And you know, Alfred, it's interesting because, of course, we're so honored to have you and the legendary James Matheson, the author of the Siege Anthology, for, you know, several years in the early 80s. He mailed out a monthly newsletter, and you just held up the book, which is available at bannedbyamazon.com. If you want to use a debit card or a credit card, and there it is, bannedbyamazon.com. Or if you want to use crypto, you can go to moneytreepublishing.com, and you should get Siege and many others. But man, Siege is just stunning. You know what else is interesting when you said that, Alfred, is in addition to the visionary nature of Mason Tradamus instead of Nostradamus, Maester Tradamus, there were other visionaries at that time. You mentioned, and I put several in the introduction today, which was the great Ernst Zundel, who was literally murdered by the Kikes. And George Lincoln Rockwell, again, a cowardly shot in the back by Kikes. And these guys all saw it. And, I mean, Henry Ford saw it 110 years ago and spent a lot of money. He put his, again, available at Dave Gahari's excellent imprints, bannedbyamazon.com. But right here, this one right here, the International Jew, you know, he paid the best journalists money could buy, literally. I mean, he spent $4 million over how many years putting out the Dearborn Independent, just unbelievably well-sourced and well-written. And you can get that to a volume edition at Banned by Amazon or Money Tree Publishing. But my question to you, and I know there's no real answer to it, is why can't most white men and women in Europe, I mean, they're starting to wake up, of course, and that's encouraging, as you said at the beginning of the show, but why in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, why couldn't they see through all these vile Kike lies, these perfidious Jews who were, everything they do was to sabotage and ultimately sterilize and destroy the white European legacy, traditional family, or European for all the countries in Europe? And why is it that only people like us and the viewers and a small minority of others can see through these Jew lies, but most can't, and to this day they're going along with it?
Well, you know, some of the main driving memes of the time were things, and these distracted us away from anything evil that was and sinister that was hidden from us, was the meme: we are living in a time where every single generation has it so much better than the generation before. We are entering a time of eternal peace. Wars, that's a thing of the past. And we really were hypnotized by these memes, which we were constantly bombarded with. So we didn't have we didn't feel the need to question things we didn't understand. And it had to come to a point where we now see, now the storm is upon us. So now we are raising our alarm kind of thing. And now people are going, oh my God, what, you know, so this is the reason, this is what's going on. And this is actually, we needed to reach this point, the pain and so forth, and the fear of looking in the future, to get on our feet and do what it takes to secure our future. And it's not as if that would makes us unhappy or makes our, you know, life worse. It actually gives our life a purpose and meaning, knowing that it is up to us to get this right. Because the life of play and pleasure that we were so accustomed to might have been pleasant, as you know, as long as we didn't see any threats, but it was not very fulfilling. And I think all of us in this struggle now look at people who are not involved, and we cannot take them seriously anymore. They are not fully grown up yet. They are like little children playing in the sandbox, and that's fine. I mean, like, I know little children playing in the sandbox, if they see their house is on fire, they'll just look at it and say, oh, Dad will fix that, and not worry about it. But no, Dad is not going to fix this. We either fix it or we cease to exist. We will go down. And the other races won't hate us, won't hate us because of the of the bullshit that we've been smeared with. They will hate us, pardon me, they will hate us for not stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility to get this sorted out, because we are the most capable of all the races to do so, and it is up to us to do so, and nobody else is going to help us. That the others are just coming in and joining in the feeding frenzy. Just like if you were, think back when you were a youngster, and if some wealthy neighbor forgot to lock the door and had a whole, you know, basement full of wine and beer and some, you know, nice women strolled along and came in there, you would also join the party and go there and have fun, you know, drink yourself silly and so forth. But we all know that after drinking ourselves silly in a big party, there's a hangover, and we as a civilization are coming out of the party. We're suffering from a hangover, and now we understand, oh my God, look what came in the house while we were drunk on the floor. You know, and that's what we have to clean up. Clean up before mom and dad come home and see this mess, you know. That's the situation we have. And we'll get it done, but we just have to understand what's going on. And, yeah, that's our job right now, is to activate, reach all of our people, whichever means, with words, messages, and language they need to, for them to understand. That's what we're here for.
Really well put. And let's welcome Davis Lerman, the brilliant host of 7 nights a week of Right Perspective Radio. On weekends, he does deep dives into excellent TV shows of the past, like The Prisoner. And then Sunday night is Das Buch with his young, compelling, intelligent partner. Welcome, Davis. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddies. Well, let's discuss that hangover that we're all experiencing. What does the hangover, what is it constituted of? Well, it's every 18 minutes a white woman is sexually assaulted by a groid.
Right.
If people aren't sick enough yet, they just have to suffer more. We have pedo, trannies, raping children. They just haven't suffered enough yet, I guess. We could still have Jews biting baby dicks. We've got every 6 minutes a white person is physically assaulted by a Negro savage. And as far as the kids go, not knowing how to fix it, they're suffering under the global economy that Jews treat like a roulette wheel of commerce, such that these kids cannot afford to buy a home in the neighborhoods that they grew up in. So it's not a real country. It's very difficult to get some kind of a unified response when you're not living in a real country. We got white flood victims have still yet to be given a proper FEMA response. We have white service members deployed to the Middle East as meat shields. So hopefully those two issues will help, but they're still living in a country where speech is banned, but genocide is not.
Really well put. Well,
yes.
Unfortunately, now that you're here, I thought I was waiting for Scorpio, because I only wanted to tell this tragic tale once about what happened to Statutory Paul. Just a half hour before showtime, but Scorpio's having problems with his phone again, unfortunate, and so he may not join us. So today was going to be the big reveal. I was working with Statutory Paul about 12:30. He was going to turn his camera on. As most people don't know, he's a true German. He's looks like a cross between Max von Sydow and Napoleon's older brother, Napoleon Dynamite's older brother. And he was testing out his camera. He had the best parking spot in the McDonald's lot for the best Wi-Fi. He was just about to enjoy the picture was good. We were all set up, and then he's unwrapping his breakfast McRib. As Davis well knows, there's nothing that Statutory Paul likes more than a sloppy McRib, and he was. Literally spreading, we're joking around, he's spreading the buns to commit saucy analingus on that McRib, and suddenly, shockingly, his his driver's window is smashed open, and it's about a dozen, maybe more, SWAT-like IRS thugs came to get him, and he resisted, he said, look, I'm a nationalist, I'm a sovereign citizen, and at that point, They tased him in the neck and pulled him out the door, and that was it. The phone went off.
So, Giuseppe, we have some of that audio right here, in fact.
Okay, go ahead.
Paul is really munching away on that McRib. He's doing anal lingus on the McRib. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Talk about a mental image in my That was really good, man. That's the Sorry, first.
That was a bit much, yeah.
That's a way to go, James.
There you go.
Mm.
So that was building on the joke. Of course, that didn't happen to Paul. I was just waiting to play on that good joke from a month or two ago when he was having all those sloppy piggy sounds. So Paul can't make it today. So we're down to three, the triumphant troika, which is fine. Both you guys have much, much to say. And I'd like to get your thoughts on this first thing, which is, let me share the screen. How about that, man? 110,000 white Irish people took to the streets in Ireland Saturday saying enough is enough with these rapist, subhuman browns and blacks being forced upon us. I mean, literally, so I find that encouraging. Absolutely. What do you guys think of the massive Irish protest to kick out these illegal muds? They've had enough in Ireland, and I hope they just go for it. We need one European or North American country to do it, to take down the government, and then they're all going to fall like dominoes, because once you see one group of courageous whites do it, all groups of courageous whites will do it. So, well, I don't know. We keep inching closer, Alfred, than Davis.
Yeah, you know, it is wonderful. It's very heartwarming and encouraging to see that finally, 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 we're seeing people en masse coming out and just venting their discontent, their anger, because this doesn't stop there. It will continue. It will progress. It will expand. Finally, 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 because then there'll be a tipping point where the invaders will be seen as such, and the politicians that brought them in and the Jews that are responsible, they will be hiding to for their lives, because they will be hunted down, and this will be dealt with. We will do whatever it takes, you know. So that's encouraging. Like these are just the beginnings of the healing of the physical healing process. Just the beginnings. It's going to get a whole lot better.
Excellent observation, Davis. Your thoughts on this massive protest by white native Irish men and women? Enough is enough with the rapists, the groomers, the thieves getting red carpet treatment, luxury hotels, given credit cards loaded up to the nines with money, and the native Irish people struggle more and more.
Yes, well, we're seeing that a return to ethnogenesis is possible, so there's some hope. I see it as terribly hopeful. Of course, I was hopeful 6 months ago when there were 11-year-olds throwing Molotov cocktails. That was pretty sweet, too.
That was pretty sweet.
More of that, and as the words come out of my mouth, I know how that sounds, but unfortunately, we're hated. White people are hated.
Exactly.
So now we just have a choice. You have a choice as to why you can be hated. And there's going to come a time when we'll have no choice but to be hated in such a way that we become the stories of the nightmares our enemies tell their children. And that's where it has to go. So hopefully the Irish continue to keep their teeth and their teeth grow. And they seem to have a proper love for their Volk and their way of life. They seem to have dropped a lot of the neoliberal capitalist individualism, which was a great enemy that divided them. So good for them. But we should see it as hope as well, by the way, because they're not seeing themselves as this little slice of just Catholic Irish or something like that. They're uniting as the indigenous Irish people. And so we can learn a lot from that type of self-determination.
So to play the devil's advocate for a moment, Alfred and then Davis, a month or two earlier, Conor McGregor, the famous mixed martial artist, all around tough guy, Irish. He's been in movies. He's a celebrity, and he's a pretty decent MMA fighter in the past anyway. And he announced that he had had enough about a month ago and announced he's running for president of Ireland, which on the surface you think fantastic. But then you do a little research and you can find all these pictures of good old Connor with some very evil people giving Illuminati signs, you know, the whole eye thing, covering one eye and putting your, like Napoleon, all these various Illuminati Freemason things. So do you think, first Alfred, then Davis, do you think that the vile kike, the international Jew, is just seeing how much grassroots pressure is building up, so they're going to have to allow one country to take back their whiteness, but they've got their man's going to be elected president who will only let it go so far? That, in my mind, that's what could possibly be going on. Your thoughts, Alfred, then Davis.
You know, what we're seeing now is that when it is someone who's not not for real, like he's a controlled opposition, or he's compromised, this always is exposed now in extremely short time. Like in the old days, I mean, it took me when I made my first video back in 2014. About 9/11 gatekeepers and controlled opposition. It was about Noam Chomsky kind of thing. And it took a long time for me to really figure out what gatekeepers are and that he was a gatekeeper, because I'm always trying to say, well, maybe he just doesn't know and so forth. But nowadays, we have so many people who are so clear, have such a clear understanding of the deep down machinations of what's going on, that anybody who is not ingenious, like not straightforward, like honest, and not what he's saying to be, is exposed very, very quickly. However they try to pull the wool over our eyes, it will not work. People are going to, we in the end are going to get rid of this parasite that's sucking the blood out of us. It'll like a Donald Trump. How many people still take him seriously, for example, or Elon Musk or any of these people?
Right.
Everybody who's not really, not for real, but some kind of a like run by the Jews, basically, they're exposed in ever shorter time. And just like you just explained the details of what his real identity is, you're not the only one. We're talking about it here. And if he got into office, everybody would know, and he couldn't last. I just can't see that working out.
Davis, your thoughts on, is McGregor the big pressure release control, you know, like on a truck, like when we moved ourselves from New Mexico to Milwaukee and then from Milwaukee here to Virginia over the last decade and a half, it was these 26-foot trucks, which I drove. They had a governor, which you could not go faster than 60 miles per hour. I mean, you could floor it, and it's just not, it's that's as much as you're going to get. And so do you think we're seeing McGregor as the governor of the truck, Davis?
No, Jews will not let one country return to racism as a pressure release valve tactic or something like that, unless they're wildly overconfident about their ability to re-enslave the Irish people through racial invasion and multinational corporate conspiracy of diversity and lower wages. Jews have been known to be overconfident before, but this would truly be a first. No, I don't think so. This is not part of the human algorithm known as the Jew. Simply doesn't work this way, if you ask me.
Well, that's interesting. Then this is more organic than synthetic, and then let's all pray for the Irish to succeed, because like I said, you take your country back, one white country, take it back from the vile kike, a lot of dominoes are going to start falling, and that's what we need. All right, the next thing I want to get you guys' thoughts on is there's a federal election in Canada today. And, in fact, later on this evening, FTJ, banned by Amazon, and Money Tree Publishing owner Dave Gahari is going to do an analysis with the courageous Leslie Borey, who did – nearly 2 years in jail for simply exercising some basic free speech rights, which Canada used to have. And so, but what's interesting about that election, and we'll go same order, Alfred and then Davis, the globalist faggot, he is literally a homo, that they were going to install Vary or Varney or whatever the guy's name is, Carney, I think, or Carey, that's it. He was up massively in the rigged polls, but he did so poorly in a debate that this conservative fella, far right guy, has tied him in the polls and could easily win the election. And so that's very interesting. And so I guess for so long, I mean, the people of other than the trucker strike in Canada, the people of Canada have just been like teacup chihuahuas, just licking the Jew's hand as it strokes them. And maybe that's over. I mean, I've been waiting forever for the Canadian, the hardy, rugged spirit to wake up. And maybe, is this it, Alfred? You think?
First of all, I've spent a lot of time thinking and trying to understand why I grew up in Canada, and I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out why it is that the Canadians are so docile, where's the rebellion, where's the enough is enough kind of thing. And I came to the following conclusion that the reason for that is because we grew up not believing that anybody in this universe could want to do us any harm whatsoever. And if the evil communist Soviet Union were to attack us, we have Big Brother USA right on our borders. We have the distant early warning line in the north, the dew line with the Americans up there with radar and stuff like that and you know, military equipment. So we felt like, you know, we're in the best country in all the world. You know, we can play like little kids. No one's going to hurt us. And in this atmosphere is where the Jews, of course, they took over the media and took over everything, basically. It was as difficult for them as it is to take a toy or a candy away from a baby. And it is only now that ever more Canadians are beginning to understand, oh, my God, that we do have an enemy. It's an enemy within the gates, and we just didn't expect this. So anyone they try to install in the government in Canada is the same as as here in Germany with this Merz guy. This guy's job is to plunder the accounts of people who have savings and so forth. And in Canada, it's not much different. Whoever they install, it's not someone they have that was elected. It's someone that has been now installed, and he comes, you know, out of a Goldman Sachs kind of an environment, and he will be there to take all the property and wealth away from the European, the white Canadians, and put it in Jewish hands with things like, oh, this used to be Indian reservation, you know, it was never properly, you know, blah, 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 blah. So the Jews will try to convince the Canadians that all this is legal and perfectly, you know, and just keep, you know, trust us kind of thing. So that's what we're seeing. So I don't have the only hope that Canadians have is to get on their feet, get their guns and start to, and this is civil war. It has to end, you know, with the force of coming out of the barrel of a gun. That's the only way they're going to stop this insane genocide against white Canadians.
Sadly, I have to agree. Davis, your thoughts on the Canadian election and this fella. This is a great little meme. We are in a real crisis. This is the, whatever his name is, created by the closeted homosexual Castro's illegitimate child, who was advised by this guy who created the crisis. I mean, it's so typical, man. So typical.
Yes, indeed. Well, first I've got to say a qualifier, if I could. I don't want to be misunderstood by FTJ listeners and the like. So my take that we just had about Ireland does not mean I think Conor McGregor is real. I was really discussing whether the Jews would be using him as a type of pressure release valve. So I was actually speaking to the non-reality of Conor McGregor. I don't think he's for real. I don't think he's the real deal. Conor McGregor is an opportunist, and he's seeking to exploit his fame and hope he can gain some notoriety and recognition on the political stage. That's all. And by the way, in other countries, boxers or the like have in fact become politicians and stuff like that. So it is possible. On the Canadians, there's a ways to go. I mean, the Canadians, like us, they suffer, they experience an approximation of resigned pessimism. They've been beaten down by anti-white messaging central to a multicultural Judaic morass. So they've got all the ingredients, but I don't know, are, you know, aside from some historic things like Bastille Day or whatever, are Canadians themselves, maybe it's in their blood, but are they themselves more than radicals? Are they revolutionaries? Can they take the illegitimate system designed to benefit Jews at the expense of whites and overturn it? I don't really know. Alfred, you seem very confident, but that may be the answer about picking up guns, but are these the type of people? And I'm not saying one way or another. I don't know enough about Canada. The Canadians I know are based as FUG, FUG, so that can't be an accurate representation of the number of Canadians you'd need to do the job. So, Alfred, what do you think, being more knowledgeable about Canada?
I think the pain level has to be considerably higher in Canada for the individuals, where they really start to fear for their very survival before they actually comprehend what needs to be done. Because until then, they just that sort of an experience is as far away from them as an event on a different planet. It just never, ever, ever occurred to them that in their lifetimes they will find themselves in a do or die situation, a struggle for the very future of our civilization. I mean, in Canada, it is, you know, when you got these like hordes and hordes of Pajits running around, when you have the Chinese in Canada complaining that they don't feel like they're in Canada anymore, they feel like they're in Bombay or India when they go into a downtown area, that's an indicator of how bad things have become in many Canadian urban areas. You know, so they need to feel more pain before they, you know, get their head out of their ass and do something. So will they manage? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Now, I do have the same take on Americans, interestingly. Like, I think we need to experience more pain. I think that is part of it. And that the pain can become the catalyst you need. But at the same time, I think it's undeniable that at least America has the precedent of being revolutionaries. Now anyone can become radical. So, and again, I'm not denigrating Canadians. I'm simply asking the question, because you guys don't have the advantage of being told by your founders that, for example, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. Like, we have that kind of thing going on, which makes every American with a brain in their head think like, well, now wait, what about the extremism necessary in the defense of our existence? Like, surely we got to be able to do that. But you don't have that sort of undergirding, philosophical undergirding and justification for revolution, unless you do. I don't know. Does Canada have that?
No, we don't. The Americans are much better predispositioned for this. Like, because if you always said, you know, the gun ownership is one big thing. I remember when I was young and growing up in Canada, we were indoctrinated in a very communist way kind of thing. We didn't realize it, of course, but we always used to actually look down and frown upon the Americans and their guns, you know. And now I say, well, thank God they've got their guns, and keep them and train and, you know, like, get good at using them, because by God, I wish that we also had guns, and we don't, because we believed all this this communist crap about you know, this libtard shit there. So yeah, we never thought there would ever be a necessity to have them. And the Americans have always been, you know, said we have the reason for having guns is to defend yourself against a government that gets hijacked, kind of thing. And that's exactly what we have now. Well, and, like, going back to the beginning of when you're talking about Henry Ford and so forth, my God, how, I mean, back then, you know, in 1920, Henry Ford has seen through it all and tried to warn and to say, how is it possible that such a not only a national hero, but an international hero like Henry Ford, I mean, absolute hero. And he was, you know, and he came out with such a straightforward warning, so clear. And how could it be that was swept under the rug and forgotten and ignored? And oh my God, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, the protocols is what really alerted him. And of course, seeing in reality around him, he was saying, wait a second, these protocols can't be a quote unquote forgery, whatever the hell that means. They clearly enacted these policies. These are policies of a destructive human algorithm known as the Jew.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's too bad that Paul's not here, because I was actually wanted to sort of, because we had a sort of a little opinion difference there when I said there are some good Jews, and he says, no, Alfred, there's no good Jews. And I had an experience just last week, well, on Wednesday, actually, and that was maybe a necessary experience to get me, you know, smartened up a little bit. And I have to say, Paul was right, I was wrong. And I want to go through this experience because it seems that I always have these things always happen to me at the right moment in my life somehow. You see, when I came out of prison from my 4-year stint, so I have to sort of explain the background of the story. When I came out of prison in 2022, after my 4 years in prison, they still had on the trains this mask mandate. And so I never wore my mask, but it was always down here underneath my chin or someplace. But when the conductor would come along checking the train tickets, just so I wouldn't get tossed off the train and, you know, all the inconvenience, I'd sort of put it up a little bit, and, you know, until he's gone again. And the guy who was on the train from Munich to where I live here in Tutzing, the guy sitting across from me, just a younger guy, he sort of had his mask down too, and he started smirking and smiling. And so after the conductor was gone, I started talking to him. And he got off the train also in Tutzing, so he lives here, and we chatted a bit, and I found, hey, this guy's, he's on tune, he knows what's going on with his bullshit here, and we have become friends, you know. And then this last Wednesday, I was at the train station, I wanted to go to Munich, and I just happened coincidentally to run into him. I says, hey, how you doing, you know, and so we got on the train together. And it was fairly crowded. We finally found a place at the end of one of the wagons, and we started reminiscing about. I says, "Well, it was pretty insane this mask mandate time. At least, you know, they're not pulling that shit off anymore." But you know, and then we started. I says, "But the and I said something like, "The eternal poisoners of the wells have sure done a thorough job this time," you know, and then I says, with this so-called vaccination, this Jew shot, I said Judenspritze. And when I said those words, this guy who was also in the same little part of the train there, he turns around through the seats like we were sitting behind him, and he says, "I'm a Jew," you know, like he heard me say the Jew shot, and he's just like foaming at the mouth, "I'm a Jew," you know, and he's expecting me, because Germans have been conditioned to that if some Jew would look at an average German and say that I'm a Jew, they would fall on their knees and beg for forgiveness and probably suck his dick and all, you know, whatever needs to satisfy the Jew. So I just says, "Oh, you're a Jew. Well, then you probably didn't get the real shot. If you, or no, at first I offered him my booster shot. You can have my booster shot. I don't need any of that shit." And it says, "I am drei U, which means 3 U's, which means untested, unvaccinated, and unrelenting." You know, and then I said, and this guy was just starting to really start frothing and foaming at the mouth and just going absolutely crazy. And then he said, "I'm gonna film you. I'm gonna go to the police. I'm gonna report you." And so suddenly he puts us through the seats in the cracks and through the crack in the seats there, because he was the row in front of me. He gets his mobile device out and starts filming me. So in a very polite and friendly voice and a nice smile on my face, I say, "Oh yeah, greetings all. I hope you're having a nice time." And then he realized he's not filming me, you know, saying anti-Jewish things. I'm just being nice and friendly. Right. And then he turned back. And then during his ranting and raving, he also blurted out, you know, "It's Germany's been good for living since 1945. And then he was just didn't know how to cope with this, with the fact that two people are just sort of joking and laughing and just exposing all this nonsense, all these Jewish lies. And I happen to have my 9/11 AE 9/11 T-shirt on, which has 9/11 explosive evidence, you know, on the back. And then I says, "Can you read English?" And he was there with his wife, this Jew guy, and so I stood up. And then he read it out loud, 9/11 explosive evidence. And then he says, "Oh, that's just Anschauung. That's deine Weltanschauung, which means, oh, that's just your, your opinion kind of thing. Like your, the way you, like anything, they will not, like the, it's like they said in the Third Reich, if you expose the Jew and the truth and the Jew is exposed, they completely lose it. They go completely crazy. They go completely ballistic. And anyway, this experience to have these people get absolutely triggered, going like in it, like completely insane, just because we're talking about the Jew shot and not, you know, oh, vaccines and COVID, you know, Corona, blah, 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 exposing it for what it was. And they didn't know how to deal with that. So I was saying that people can actually, you know, everywhere now, people just ought to just start talking about these things in dialogues where other people overhear them. And when, if anybody flips out, engage them. And this is how I could imagine like a tsunami of exposure. What's that?
Oh, sorry. This is my desktop actually triggered something.
It's like a tsunami of everybody coming out, speaking with clear words, exposing the lies. They're going on and on about the hollow hoax and blah, 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 the new world religion, hollow hoax. And nobody wants to talk about the massive genocide of Jew jab, you know, forcing all our kids to with this bioweapon and so forth. You know, we are right on the brink of an absolute genocide right now. And we are in the crosshairs, like that's it. And this Jew, when he, you know, seeing that, hey, his wonderful world, like for Jews, can you imagine for Jews living in Germany, they don't pay income tax because of the hollow hoax, the hollow swindle. You know, like they have absolute a parasitic existence there of comfort and luxury and wealth and privilege. And now suddenly they're seeing it all exposed. So going from a parasite living in luxury to a hunted a pest, you know, that's a big transition for that. They know they're going to be going through. And it's too bad Paul isn't here because he kind of, this little experience convinced me, no, there's no good Jews.
Wait, this is the, oh, I see. You're agreeing there's no good Jews. I thought you
were I'm agreeing with him now. Yeah, because I first said, well, not all Jews are guilty, but you know, all the Jews are complicit by their engaging in these privileges, not paying income tax in Germany because of the hollow hoax. They don't get vaccinated with a bioweapon. Yeah. They get a placebo, if anything at all. You know, I mean, they're just laughing themselves silly. I know my sister Monica, when she had, there was a number of Jews like in Jasper where she used to live, and they had been draft dodgers from the USA because Jews, if they're supposed to go in the military service, they won't go in there. They'll evade somehow. You know, they'll get their doctor to sign off that they're sick or something like this, or they'll just go to someplace else to live because that's their nature. They, you know, be the last one into the military so you can be the first one back out again. You know, they start all the wars, they fight all the wars. And so wherever they are a Jew at the end of the day in every part of their behavior.
Well, not counter signaling, but I have one example. So I was 15, she was 16, and I was a big fan of Cindy for one summer, but now I know better. So I used to think there was a good Jew.
Well, you know, realistically, the good Jew perception is like many other things. It's on a spectrum, right? There are the handful of Jews who have broken out of their trauma-based conditioning from birth. And, I mean, look at like Henry Herskovitz in Michigan for 35 years. He's gone and protested at the main library every day. And these woke people try and steal his signs and don't realize that he's a Jew protesting the lies of the Holocaust. Look at the disgraced professor, not in our eyes, but in the eyes of the Kikery, Professor Henry Finkelstein had wrote the Holocaust Industry book. I mean, there are some, but as opposed to the great mass of evil that is Kikery, I mean, it's like walking in a field and finding a true four-leaf clover, right? That's the good Jew. There aren't too many of them around, but there are.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I always say also that the good ones that there were have already identified themselves because they have already been on our side trying to expose these lies. And these very few individuals, it's a tiny, tiny, minuscule percentage of the total population of Jews, but these minuscule, tiny number, they will deserve and need proper protection from because they came out and says this, you know, like JFH, for example, Jews for Hitler, was a good friend of mine, actually. He helped me a lot while I was in prison, you know, with letters and so forth. And he did some wonderful videos explaining so many things, like the Holocaust on trials kind of thing. And he's been completely straightforward and open and honest in exposing the evils of the collective Jewry. And yeah, people like that. Well, but for someone to come out now, for some Jew to come out now after they see, oh, the wind is changing. No, it's too late. They missed their chance. You know, so that's my stance on this whole thing right now.
Wow, Davis, you want to have any comments? Otherwise, I want to go back to my earlier question. I don't know if Davis had even joined us yet, which was, why do so many white normies go along with this kumbaya communist Bolshevik 2.0 narrative? But first, I'm going to give Davis a chance to respond to Alfred.
No, we can go on to the new question. And yeah, this is something I think about a lot. And it seems that no matter what you put up the flagpole, eventually everyone will salute. So that's my answer, why they succumb to dumb ideas that become entire social movements, that become governing structures, that become institutionalized. I think that's the answer, is whatever you fly up the flagpole, pretty soon most people are going to salute. It's unfortunate, but it's also beneficial, because once we're in charge of the flagpole, we know exactly how this will go.
Well, yeah, and the flagpole takes literally billions of dollars, which everybody knows about that vile kike George Soros and his little reptilian-looking, sniveling, coward son. But have you guys heard of this guy? I just came across this. This is a Swiss Jewish billionaire. His name is Hangjord Wyss. He's 89 years old. He's dumped $800 million into American left-wing causes, right? That's why these fucking Antifa and these tranny assholes are willing to get out and protest, because they're getting paid somewhere between $60 and $100 an hour. They get free transportation. If they do a good job, they probably get bonuses. That's where the bullshit is. Everywhere you look, you're seeing these fucking TV commercials about racial miscegenation. It's always some black rapist with some good-looking white woman on all these TV commercials, or it's a chink with a mestizo Indian. You never see, although I got to say, I was watching the Washington Caps Montreal Canadiens hockey game last night, and Volvo ran a commercial with all white families, a white couple and a little white baby. I'm like, hey, way to go, Volvo. And that was the first white commercial I'd seen in quite a while. But have you guys heard of this piece of shit Jew, Hangjord Wyss? I mean, this is what we have, no matching funds on the far right National Socialist platform. I mean, my God, if it wasn't for Dave Gahari's clever ingenuity and getting by on a shoestring with a lot of things, and you know, I mean, where's our millions of dollars backing us? I'd sure like a piece of that. Anyway, you go. Let's go Davis first this time, then Alfred.
This is an asymmetrical war. So we've got to fight smarter, harder, and better. And we also have to elicit support from the people that want to hear more of what they'd like to see in the world. That's just how it goes. Unfortunately, it is an asymmetric war. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's an asymmetric war, and it's the function that money actually has in it. You know, like, money is a placeholder for real value, and that's why the Jew has learned ever since money exists has developed his own psychopathic, insane behavior, calling it a religion, in order to do whatever it takes to subvert the host population and gain control of the money. So that's why these Jews, like, how did he get this money? Well, through hooker by crook. He didn't work for it, as a plumber or a carpenter or something like that. Right. He got it through Jewish means. And so the Jews also know that they sort of feed this back into the pipeline, into these Jewish, organizations, NGOs or whatever they are. And that's how this thing works. And we don't have that. We never will, because we are run on a different value system. And it's like, Dr. William Luther Pierce often said, like, if crooks in our ranks, there's sort of always an upper limit. Some non-Jew who's into swindling or something, wow, if it's $1 million, that's a big one, But for Jews, if it's not a $1 billion, it's nothing. They'll cheat and swindle on a scale and magnitude that is for us incomprehensible. And then being an international element, this is their control over this planet Earth, No, I've never heard of that Swiss guy that you just referred to there, but he's just one of those Jews, and he's pumping that money into subversive organizations that are terrorist organizations like the Antifa. Absolutely. They're criminals, just worthless criminals. And the same thing is happening in all of the Western countries. Here in Germany, you've got Omas gegen Rechts, which is grandmothers against the right, and they're getting paid 60 euros an hour to go there. If you're just an old grandma and don't have anything better to do, and someone's going to give you 60 euros an hour to go there and hold up a sign, and they're all the same signs, all nicely printed up signs, like we just wouldn't even think of doing such stupid shit. So the solution there is we turn on, get our brain back in gear, turn our brain back on, and we don't need money to win this. We just need common sense and our instincts. That's what we need. And that's what's happening now. That's where we are.
Awesome. Well, let's take a brief moment and look who's in the chat. Why? It's your courageous sister, Monica, and she makes some great points. Monica says they go tribal when you challenge their religion at the Holocaust. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's a cultish religion, that's for sure. And so, straight out of Swampton, my buddy Dave says, you can't trust a slimy kike, period. I totally agree. And then Monica replies, we cannot spend our energy and time on the so-called good Jews. It is a distraction which sucks our energy. That is exactly right. And so
it's very true. Very true. Thanks, Monica, for writing that in there. That's
Monica.
Very true. Thank you very much, Monica.
And thanks for the links to the you gave me to that fellow that I hadn't heard about. What an interesting guy. And so let's say hello to the other people, ethno-nationalists, great memes as usual. Johnny Sunshine says, be a Bobby Fischer, saying to all the Jews, yeah, that's for sure. And then let's see, Steve-O, hey, man, thanks so much. Glad to see you. And Steve-O donated 1666. Which no symbolism there, of course there is, but if you'd like to donate to your host, and all the hosts put in a lot of your favorite host isn't live, but you're flush, you want to give him $50, $100, and he's not, go to a video and click on it, and right down under the video is going to be the tip using your FTJ wallet. So that's great. Bill the Butcher, a lot of great memes tonight. Shameless Wise Ass, I believe he's a Canadian, he's down on the election. Let's see who else is here. Davis was there for a bit. That's cool. Flack 88, another great regular. A lot of good memes. And Michael Cisternino, hello. Thomas Dwyer is such a great supporter of all the shows. The courageous Serbian Bull is here. Veritas, haven't seen him in a while. Glad to see he's okay. And he's quoting Donald Trump and bringing Columbus Day back from the ashes. The Democrats did everything possible to destroy Christopher Columbus, his reputation, and all the Italians that love him so much. They tore down his statues and put up nothing but woke, or even worse, nothing at all. Well, you'll be happy to know Christopher is going to make a major comeback. I'm hereby reinstating Columbus Day under the same rules, dates, locations, as if it had never been there for the many decades before. And, you know, that's Trump. You know, Trump just throws out these little crumbs, right? Here you go, Goyim. Yeah, you're getting your country back. And the whole time, what he's really doing, and great point, Veritas, which he doesn't actually do anything for whites. He never mentions whites. And let's see, Flack88, Bill the Butcher. I think we've gotten everybody. So everybody, thanks for coming on. The memes have just been fantastic. And what a tragedy to think that, you know, these Canadians, they had it all. When I was a little boy, like I said many before, my Sicilian side, the two brothers, my grandpa, my Nanu, and his brother came to America, and the two sisters went to Canada, Montreal, actually. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was a kid, I just admired how much better Canada was the United States. The United States was just full of like weak-minded shitheads. And whenever the relatives from Canada would come over, they were like Europeans. They were polished. They were intelligent. And it's just insane that a few subversives like Maurice Strong and all those other asses just took the country down without a shot. Isn't it interesting that all the crown countries, the colonies, all got taken down with, and Australia fell for that false flag, New Zealand with that phony mass murdering, Canada just went along with it. I don't think there was, Alfred, was there like one event that caused Canada to have to give up their guns? I'm not familiar with that.
No, you know, Canada used to pride itself in, oh, we don't need guns. And that's why they also, there's a lot of propaganda also against the Americans and their guns. So that we would look, we thought of ourselves as being so superior because, we don't need guns for like the crazy Americans. And especially we just could not imagine in our wildest nightmares that there was anybody who would threaten us. The only possible threat we thought might be there was the communism from the Soviet Union, and then our big brother USA would help us. And now we find that we have become the communists, and they have sort of liberated themselves from a number of their Jews, but not all of them. They're just as still tangled into it, just as we are. But right. all these Jews, when the feeding wasn't as good anymore in the Soviet Union, they were coming over into our countries in droves. I mean, Johnson, after Kennedy was killed, he brought in scores and scores of these Jews, you know, out of the Soviet Union. You know, they had their man in office with Johnson, you know, and it was all rapidly downhill. Kennedy was the last possible chance in my eyes, in my view, because he was starting to wake up, and he was starting to wake up a little bit too much for these Jews. So he had to.
Oh, man, it was out. The Jews and the oil men and the dullest loyalist spooks in the CIA. There was so many people lining up to kill Kennedy. It's shocking how many people were involved. It was like every possible evil secret group operating at that time in America wanted to put one of their guys to take a shot. It's crazy. But yeah, that was a nightmare. And then of course there's people who researched and say, well, was this guy as good as we all think? But well, that's another show. But here's a great point from a nice morsel from your sister Monica. Hey guys, there are way more guns in Canada than you think. We still do have guns. Well, that's good to know.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Right, me too. Well, while Davis just went to get coffee, we'll wait for Davis to return. But in the meantime, here's another kind of encouraging event.
Oh, nice.
So in northern Italy, a couple hundred Italians pay homage to Benito Mussolini on the occasion of the 80th anniversary of his death. And you can clearly see that's several hundred, guys definitely ready to take care of business.
Yes.
And this is very encouraging to see.
It's very encouraging to see. And people have to overcome their fear of doing these. I like the way Scott Adams says, tell me everything I'm not allowed to say, and I'm going to say it every day as much as I can.
Exactly.
That's what we have to do. to deal with a psychopath, the psychopaths control, like to control us by making a gazillion rules what we're not allowed to do. And Scott Adams had it spot on when he says, tell me everything I'm not supposed to say, I'm going to say it every day as often as I can. And, raise your arm as often as you can, just all the stuff that you are not supposed to do, and then let them explain, what is your problem, really. This is good to
see. That's a great point, Alfred. And I see Davis is back. Davis, by the way, your talented Thursday co-host, Klasha, is watching on Twitter X, and she says, check your email.
Based, Klasha.
And Davis, this is several hundred angry young white Italians gathered on the 80th anniversary of Mussolini's death. And it's great to see, man. Look at that. They are all... These are some paisans who are ready to take care of business, and that is really great to see. So your thoughts, Davis?
Nice. Well, yeah, this is good counter-programming, that's for sure. Let's hope it works instead of having some kind of hammer come down upon them. More like an iron fist without the velvet glove come down upon them. It just depends. Italy has a different geography, a different set of circumstances, and a different set of challenges. Maybe this kind of thing works in Italy. That'd be great. That'd be a test case for countries of similar dimension and composition. That kind of thing, as we've seen through George Lincoln Rockwell and the like, that sort of thing does not work in America. So we have a different set of challenges. I do want to comment on Monica's post about the Holocaust. And this, the Holocaust narrative, it's really, really important. And of course, Alfred, you were challenging the Holocaust narrative, vis-a-vis mRNA shots, technically, because that's like big Jew pharma. It's just the latest, building block or the latest scaffolding in Jewish power. And it's important to remind everyone, this is sort of like back to basics, but the Holocaust narrative, the reason it's important to challenge it is because it's what gives moral license to all exercise of Jewish power. Even if these people running around out there believe it's true, like I've got some relatives who just won't be convinced by me. But what they do find convincing is that, you supporting the Holocaust is really the same as supporting the outcome of what the Jews do. So even if you don't believe that these are children of the devil or whatever extremist narrative they might be receiving, you can see with your eyes that supporting these people is the same as supporting Gaza genocide. Every time someone repeats some absurdity from the Holocaust, we all know the absurdities, another baby dies. This is the reality. This is the input-output reality of the situation. So, the official, and not to add insult to injury, by the way, the official version of the Holocaust, as we all know, it never even happened. The alleged Holocaust of 6 million Jews at the hands of Adolf Hitler and the National Socialist Germans during World War II. It's one of the most egregious and outrageous falsehoods ever perpetrated. Jewish propagandists and their fucking lackeys in Western governments have foisted upon the world a completely baseless, manufactured narrative of a wide variety of ridiculous claims we all document, and impossible events, actually, all to advance the Jewish agenda of world domination and subjugation. Ironically, the exact thing they were blaming Hitler for. So Jews invent atrocity lies to justify their disproportionate acts of violence, their oppression, and now the very thing they blame us for, genocide. So, yes, I'm on board with fuck these Jews, but at the same time, you need to understand the layered propaganda and which layer to peel off depending on who you're speaking with.
My prediction where much of the needed energy is going to come from, the energy needed to do what needs to be done to terminate the Jews, will actually come from these people, like you said, in your family, who still believe in this fake Holocaust or believe in the hollow swindle. These people, it's only a question of time when the dice will fall, kind of thing, and they will see, oh my God, I was taken for a fool. Because the whole time now, when they are stupid enough to believe it or feigning the ignorance to believe that shit. It is preventing them from getting into gear and fighting this system, you know? So they have so much more to make up for than we do, because we're in the fight now already, but they are just actually supporting the wrong side right now. So this is where I see the energy coming will be coming from these people when they realize it, and we'll have to give them sedatives to calm them down a bit, because they're gonna, any Jew that even is anywhere near them, they're just gonna gouge their eyes out and drag him down the sidewalk and whack him to death. I don't know how they're gonna deal with the rage that's coming. That's as sure as can be, you know. And all these people, like our present political puppets that we have. They also will not come out of this alive. I would not sell a single one of our politicians in any of our countries a life insurance policy, because when this goes over, all of those that will be that don't hide fast enough, like scurry down some rat hole somewhere, they will be killed. That's always been like that. I mean, that's human nature. They have got so much guilt piled up on their shoulders that you know they're dead. They're as good as dead now already. Yeah.
Well, that's we have the sedative covered, you know, a ketamine suppository, spreading the buns just like statutory Paul with his McRib. So we'll take him down quick and easy, with a lot of ketamine suppository. So
I'll tell you what, the idea of, I hadn't thought about it as clearly until you just said it. The idea of translating this support they currently have, when they learn it's a lie, the anger that will become, that's something that can be capitalized upon.
Yes, yeah. We have to funnel that. We have to direct that rage, you know. The rage is going to be just explosive. It's like you could have an explosion, or you can direct it onto a target, and it has to be directed onto the right target. That'll be important.
So Dave, straight out of Swampton, put up this great meme or post on X Twitter from Lucas Gage. Now, Lucas Gage, a lot of times he's just a guy who likes to hear himself talk, and he goes on and on. But when he's in the zone, he's brilliant. And this is a brilliant little take. Lucas Gage posted, Jewess at the gym kept checking me out. She eventually came up and asked me about Israel-Palestine. I told her I side with Palestine. She goes, ooh, I like a bad goy. You must have big matzo balls. Come over later. And then the punchline is, of course, this never happened. Just like the 6 million. What a great
ROI. Go for it. Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. All right. So we're coming. We've got about 40 minutes left. I want to make sure that we cover all the topics that you would like to cover. Alfred, is there anything else you'd like to discuss with Davis and myself?
Well, right now I'm kind of, I was on the 25th, that was on a Friday. I just a few days ago, I was supposed to appear in Augsburg. And they says, if I don't appear there, they're going to put out an arrest warrant for me. It was at the Inquisition. But for me, I'm going to just put it in the gross language, because this is a gross attack against me. It's like if I'm supposed to crawl on my belly 50 kilometers to Augsburg, and when I find the right set of boots underneath my nose, like the boots of the Inquisitor, I'm supposed to lick his boots. It's like Menachem Begin said, the Goyim will lick our boots. So I was supposed to lick these boots. Then I'm supposed to elevate myself onto my knees and stick this Jewish cock in my mouth and suck on it. I says, no, I'm not going to do that. And I sent them a letter instead, outlining in detail why they, all the illegitimate, that the illegality of who they actually are. I sent that to you a few days ago, Giuseppe. It's in German, of course, but if you have somebody who can understand.
And my wife speaks fluent German. I told her.
Yeah.
I needed her to translate.
Because it's just so you can get an idea of this is sort of the battle that I'm involved in right now. And I sometimes think that the regime is, they're attacking me from multiple sides, actually, but all in a similar fashion. So I'm kind of curious what's going to happen. But when you started this show off with this thing about road, Paul and the SWAT team arresting him. I says, "Oh my fucking god, I saw it happening to me," you know. yeah. So anyway, I mean, this, you know, everything the founding fathers of the U.S. warned about, and now we have it. You know, the entanglement with a foreign country. None of this comes without a warning. And now you look at Donald Trump, and good little boy.
Because you mentioned kissing the feet of the Jews.
Look at the feet. Really. I mean, it's I like that picture. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. I don't expect they're going to come. Some people say, "Oh, Alfred, how can you do that? They're going to arrest you." I say, no, just relax. I sent the letters off. I know they received it because it was by registered mail and so forth. And let's see.
Sister's on fire. She posts, "Giuseppe, thanks for mentioning Maurice Strong, godfather of the climate change narrative, carbon is bad narrative, which is the war on life itself. Guess what? Mark Carney is the ghost of Maurice Strong." And there you go. They just keep hammering with these traitors and installing them. So that's really sad. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Alfred, I'm glad that you're standing up to it, and more Germans need to. I mean, look at what's gone on with, like, Germar Rudolph has been attacked, you know, and his reputation slurred with these, innuendos about his activities and all that. And it's just, the Jew is just, well, there's no redemption there.
No, there's no redemption. The operating system that the Jew runs on right now, they are screaming for their own extermination. They are demanding to be exterminated by whatever healthy life there still exists on this planet Earth. If we are too weak to deal with this, then we get exactly what we deserve. We go extinct. I mean, that's the law of nature, but it's the very laws of nature that we are counting on now to get us back on our feet. And everything is now working in our favor. Like I was saying before to Davis, he says, you know, if your relatives, your family, they're still believing in this superstitious nonsense of hollow hoax. And don't ever use that word Holocaust without using it, the superstitious nonsense, the infantile, criminal, superstitious nonsense known as Holocaust. When the low IQ Negroes are coming in, swamping our countries, they laugh themselves silly that the superstitious white people could believe such nonsense. And the people that believe such nonsense, you cannot respect them. I don't respect them. How can the Negroes respect them? I mean, it's a God-given right to take their houses, kill them, rape their daughters if they believe in such nonsense like a Holocaust because some Jew told them. Even these Negroes would say, if somebody told you if you guys are paying them all kinds of money for some nonsense like that, you should put them in the pot and cook them and eat them, but don't give them money for it. I mean, come on. You know, this is the absolute low point in our civilization's history for so many people to believe such utter rubbish. That's the only way to say it.
Blacks also believe that AIDS was spread through the Kool-Aid. So if they if they're laughing at us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, at what level do we find ourselves, you know? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah. It's dumb.
Yeah.
Well, now with the conclave being called to elect the next pope, to me, I was raised Catholic old school, which means when I was in kindergarten at Holy Rosary, we just went to church on Friday. Then once you hit first grade, you had to go every day of the week. And I did that for 6 years until sixth grade. They changed it to the whole school just went on Fridays. And I'll tell you, crazy, man, what the Jews have done to subvert the Catholic religion. But, you know, it's been a while since posted a good quote from the patron saint of all Giuseppe shows, which is Saint Ambrose. So let's be inspired. Saint Ambrose said, "Jews are the most worthless of all men. They are lecherous, greedy, rapacious. They worship the devil. Their religion is sickness. The Jews are the odious assassins of Christ. It is essential that all Christians hate them." It is essential that all Christians hate them. So that, in my mind, that is the only barometer if you are a real Christian, is, do you hate the Jews and are you a Christian soldier? Like, I remember in sixth grade, I was confirmed as a Christian soldier, a Catholic soldier, right? So that's the army that should be fighting these vile kikes, but not seeing much of a Catholic resistance these days. It's embarrassing. That's why so many people no longer participate in that now kike-controlled religion, sadly. Your thoughts, Alfred?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's the Christian faith, if you call it that, is actually sort of like marinating the steak that you want to eat. I mean, the Jews, you know, is out to greedy and revenge and everything. And we say, you hit me on my left cheek, I'll show you my right cheek. You know, love your enemy more than yourself, and on, and the list goes. All these doctrines are completely anti-natural. And also, see, if I remember when my parents, when we were young, I remember the hearing from my parents, the rift in Germany, if a Catholic could not possibly marry a Lutheran or, you know.
Oh, heck yeah. It was verboten, right?
Oh, yeah, verboten. But if you have a Catholic daughter and she marries some Nigerian, you know, from Lagos and he's Catholic, oh, that's fine. You know, like, it's sort of like putting the people's home in an artificial construct. And that's why all the churches are also going along with this mixed, mixing the races and all the missionary stuff. And, you know, it's been so, actually the beginning of the end for the Europeans was the fire and torture of the Christianization of, you know, when these Jews kind of came in and I don't know what century that was when they started to come in and force these conversions kind of thing. I'm not that up into the details of the history, but I know people who understand it, they can,
Great points, Alfred. Well, speaking of Germar, Rudolf Davis, you have some updates on Germar.
Oh, not so much updates, but I did an interview with Germar, and I always try to elicit some information that other people haven't. So I started asking slice of life things about how his sudden rearrest and detention had affected his life. And people may not know just how evil the kike is. So listen to what they did to Germar. So he is in proximity of a state where there's some outstanding warrant. I think it's a warrant on some nothing charge, just to clear up this supposed licentious activity he was involved in. He was doing pull-ups on a playground bar, like where there's a swing, doing pull-ups. Okay. He was wearing exercise shorts, you know, like bike shorts that a lot of people wear. Tons of Americans wear bike shorts every year. In fact, I see some of these fat negresses walking around in their stretch pants that says Juicy on the back, and there's literally fat falling out of the top of it, and the rear end is rippled like the moon's crater.
That is the most disgusting shit. I've seen that too, man. It's unbelievable. I don't know if they are so obese morbidly that they can't turn around and look in the mirror and see what we see, but oh my God, I had to interject that. Sorry, Davis, go ahead.
Right, so Germar's the bad guy for being fit, wearing bike shorts, doing pull-ups, but we can have these beastly animals walking around where their rear end jiggles. It looks like a kitten's trying to escape a pillowcase, but they're not getting charges. Germar is, so you know exactly what's happening. So they arrest him for this type of bullshit charge, rearrest him, really, and dig this. He had his dog with him, so they take his dog from him. This is the fucking animals these Jews are. This is a dog who was like an emotional support. I consider both of my dogs emotional support dogs.
100%, 6,000,000%.
And so this dog was well trained. It had a background where it had, you know, gone through some stuff. And then Germar and this dog had an incredible relationship, and you know, as master and dog. And they took his dog. And because Germar would not be released in sufficient time, they run off of these rules. They say, oh, you're going to be detained more than 7 days. Your dog is going to the pound. Okay, they told him your dog has been readopted, but he has no evidence of this. They could have killed his dog. You know, if a dog sits in there for X number of days, they eventually exterminate the dog. So Germar is just sort of hoping that some nice couple got his dog. He has no evidence of this, though. He very well, 50-50, his dog is with someone else or dead. This is how disgusting these fucking tykes are. They will take your dog from you and stick it in a pound to be killed or taken by who knows who.
Oh, my God, that's heartbreaking. That guy's done so much. He's such a sweet guy, you know, a sensitive intellectual. And they just grind him, man. These vile fucking kikes. Oh, God.
No, the kikes will do. Yeah, they'll do anything to injure you, to hurt you with whichever means and whatever is possible. You know, it's so, yeah, just vile, vile, vile.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So I wanted to bring Garmar this up. Go ahead, Davis. Go ahead.
No, that should be the T-shirt. Garmar did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's such a low blow. damn, I did not know that. That's just that's heartbreaking. All right. So this leads to the next thing I want to point out, which is everywhere on fucking social media, which is let me bring it up. This is a great meme. All these vile kikes are putting up whites are evil posts, and then they follow up, but I'm Jewish, right? So they're white when they need to be to subvert the white tribe, and then they step out and I'm Jewish, I hate whites. I mean, this goes on like 6 million times a day, these fucking kikes, man. Unreal, so... Deceit, disguise, duplicity, dishonesty, deception, dupery. It's a Jewish thing. Gee, why am I not surprised? Your thoughts, Alfred?
Well, you know, the Jew is at the point in their timeline now of having sucked everything out of the white race. It's like it's written in their protocols. When there's nothing more to suck out, you have to erase the host population, even the memory of them. This is the phase that we are now in. And this, we either get on our feet, snap to attention and deal with it, or they will erase us, even the memory of us. And this won't be the first time in human history where they've brought empires down and totally destroyed them. This is a disease. Every aspect of the Jew and their behavior is a disease. It's a cancer. It's like Susan Sontag said of the white race many years ago, the white race is the cancer of humanity. No, this is the projection. The Jew is projecting their own identity onto us. They are a cancer. And that's why I say people who still believe in the hollow hoax, they are, for me, no longer people. They are zombies. They are the walking dead, basically. They need to be dealt with. They need to be brought to attention fast, because we need them on their feet and not with their heads walking around with their heads shoved up their ass, you know. And that's it. Like this example you just gave me, it just shows the vile nature of these Jews.
Oh, yeah. And when it's not projection, it's reflection. So yes. I never let these Jews get away with this bullshit of, oh, Netanyahu is, you know, he's just one Jew. We're not all like that. No. Yeah. Netanyahu is less an orchestrator than he is a reflection of Jewish society. He is a distillation of Jewish opinion in leadership form. So fuck all you. There is no good kike over there. There is no good kike over here. Fuck these fucking Jews.
Right on. And let me make a point. What I said earlier, here's the proof. That an article on the UK landlord website, landlords offered 5-year full rent deals to house asylum seekers. And that's the bullshit in the UK, is instead of describing the subhumans accurately as a child sodomizing, goat raping, camel raping subhumans, they're asylum seekers. They don't want any asylum. They're coming to get everything free to implement the Cloward Piven plan, your English version, which is you give so much to the muds and the Negroids that you break the existing system. And remember, even 10, 20 years ago, England had excellent free health care. England took care of its native white population. And clearly now that is not the case. This is disgusting. 5 years paid in full ahead of time to house these child rapists.
Yeah, I want to interject just briefly. Just this fits right into what I was just saying, that we find ourselves now at the point where they have stolen everything and now they need to kill us. This money that they are offering these landlords is the money they stole from us. It might be Holocaust reparations that the Germans have paid. It might be whatever it is. They stole it from us, or they're printing it. And that's, this whole system is nothing, this whole matrix of money and laws and bullshit is nothing but the matrix that leads to our certain destruction. And that's why, and that's it. Like, this is fitting right into the picture. Yeah. And people that somebody who takes that deal and says, oh, well, the government is paying me real handsomely, these people should be strung up on the next lamppost even before the Jews are, because they are traitors. And it's just like in the old West in the U.S., if you had just one bullet left and you got the traitor in front of you and the enemy, the traitor always gets the first bullet. And that's the case.
Hey, exactly right. Davis, your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, yeah, we need to do a better job of policing. Yeah, the traitor, you know, I'll put it this way. I do love white people, but I don't love all white people. And there are, in fact, white people who are a part of the problem. And this isn't counterintuitive. This is just the facts of the matter. And they're going to have to be, they're going to be handled in such a way that they're reminded, for all the rest of them you haven't gotten to yet, that there are some transgressions that are unforgivable.
Yes.
And so they can either keep that in mind or not, but the chips are going to fall where they may.
Yes.
Right on. All right, Davis, anything you'd like to cover in the remaining 20 minutes or so?
No, I'm just enjoying I'm enjoying the chat over there at FTJ. A lot of good points happening there we could address.
Right.
This housing thing is really disgusting. You wonder why there's a housing crunch everywhere when they're bringing in your replacement. Multiculturalism is constantly used as a divisive tool such that whites can't even form effective labor unions and all this. It's just at every single level we are assailed. So maybe it is just a matter of time till Alfred's vision of the frustrated white learns how they've been lied to, and that translates to an anger that can be directed.
See, another very important part of this reaction that we're predicting is the fact that a lot of these people that are being treasonous now, they didn't fully understand that it's treason until it slowly sort of sinks into them, but they were going along because they were taught to always love money and be politically correct and you'll be all accepted. And when they understand, they hear it through the drums in the bush or they put their ear to the tracks and they hear the new direction this is going, that what they are doing is actually not a politically correct, it's what the enemy wants them to do, because everybody's waking up and they want to continue to be accepted. And then the price they will have to pay to show that they are not a traitor is a very high price, you know, and that's where I say this energy comes from. So all of this is feeding into the healing energy of dealing with the parasite in the end, because the lies are exposed. Those people that are profiting now by being landlords and getting, you know, getting guaranteed money for 5 years. It's even in the Bible, is that where, you know, the guy who took the silver, coins for snitching or something like that. When he's hung up on the tree, the silver coins fall out of his hand. These people, they won't have any benefit of the money they're making by doing that, because they will be strung up on the light post. And for them not to be strung up on the light post, they have to prove that they are worth not stringing up on the light post. And they're the ones who will be doing the dirty work that needs to be done. You know,
that's
how I look at the whole thing.
Great point. And let me bring this one up, because it's every fucking day we're seeing this stuff. Where is it? Down here. It'll be right here. Okay, here we go. To Twitter's credit, there are so many people.
Oh my God.
Every day posting. And Alfred, I'm not talking about one or two or five of these instances where subhuman nigger chimps out and rapes or murders white women or white men. We're talking about this is going on 50 to 100 times a day in this country that the Jew has so lit a fire under the low impulse, low IQ ghetto nigger in America that they are completely jumping the opportunity to violently attack innocent whites. And this is just outrageous. And finally, more and more normie whites are waking up to this. But this is just off the chain right now. First Davis, then Alfred, your thoughts.
Yeah, this is how they weaponize the Nog. Although I have to caution people. I've heard people try to say, you know, we too could weaponize the Nog or something. It's like, I personally don't want to get into that game. I don't think it's possible. We don't have the systemic control of the order of things such that we could direct the anger of these low IQ, low impulse niggers. So instead, I would personally, I would back away from that sort of approach, but I'd like to get Alfred's approach on weaponizing nons.
Well, I'll tell you how I look at this. See, we had been thoroughly indoctrinated with the little pictures of a cute little nigglets, you know, with their cuddly little eyes and fat lips, and we have to feed them in Africa and so forth and, you know, feed the world and all that kind of stuff. But and now we're seeing what these people are really like, and these people, these Nogs here, they feel entitled to doing what they're doing. They're feeling empowered to do it. The Jew has weaponized them to do the genociding against us. So now we're seeing it actually starting off. But these are the pictures that are required, are necessary to replace those pictures of those cute little nigglets with the cuddly eyes and the big fat lips, you know. Now we're seeing these pictures of these Negroes stabbing us just because they are black and we are white. So we're getting reprogrammed. We had to get reprogrammed, and that's the phase that we're in right now. And this is going to escalate as the niggers get more in a panic and think, oh, it's we have to act fast now or it's going to be too late. It'll get more violent. It'll climax, and then it'll lead to our suddenly us standing up en masse and doing what needs to be done. So I don't feel, I say, okay, that's great. Let them do that lots until it reaches the last person, because we're doing everything we can now. If people want to sit there not doing anything, then they will soon be dead because we either defend ourselves and deal with these invaders or we go down. That's the law of nature. So, you know, I'm not surprised. This will get a little bit worse before it gets better, and then it'll be open season on the nons in our lands because just the fact that they are there makes them legitimate targets because they're not supposed to be there in the first place.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, a good comparison is the pimp and the prostitute. So these niggers are here. These are balloon payments of weaponization against white people brought here by the Jews. Yes. So you can only treat them that way. Yes. And a good comparison, again, is the business of the, which do you do first? Do we attack blacks or Jews? It's like, well, defend yourself against blacks, but your intellectual capacity should be brought to bear upon the Jewish problem, such as you can come up with creative solutions in an asymmetric war. And that's because the black has no plan. The black is reactive. Okay, he's yeah. Essentially like an amoeba with cilia or something. It's just reacting to the environment. This is what they are. So these aren't the kind of people you plan against. You simply defend yourself against them. So just remember, the Jew brought you these walking, talking, reproducing balloon payments of pain. And so the Jew is the pimp. He must be dealt with. And when you deal with the pimp, the prostitutes will evaporate.
Correct. That's good. That's a good way of seeing it. Good way of putting it, yes.
And you know what's sad is that you talk about, you know, weaponizing the Nog to go against the pimp, right? And it's really embarrassing for the Negroid race to be as stupid as most of them are, because Louis Farrakhan did a remarkable job using only Jewish books and Jewish history coverage, and he put together The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, just a phenomenal book, The Jewish Role in Black Slavery, which is basically they controlled it for how many decades. And then you get a modern guy like Ayo Kamate, who again started out, you know, pointing out this is our real enemy. And now he's kind of sadly reverted to blaming Whitey himself. And not all the time, but that's why he's not on FTJ anymore.
Depending on the audience, which makes me sick.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really sad. I mean, well, hold on. There's another guy, you know, the mentally ill Kanye West is telling a lot of truths, right? And they worship him. The ghetto groids worship him like some genius and thought leader. And they're not jumping up and running with the knowledge he's sharing. I mean, the dude now is selling a T-shirt with a swastika on it, and he's doing some interviews where he's just laying it all out. The Holocaust is a lie. And I, you know, what the fuck's it going to take for these fucking 70 IQ groids to wake up and go and hunt their real enemy, not Whitey. It's Jewy.
So. Kanye's new track, Cousins.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. What's that about?
Oh, this is the one where he wrote a tweet and confessed about his,
he used to slurp on the sausage of his older cousin until he realized he shouldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. The one that's now in jail for killing a pregnant lady. It's also distasteful. And people have said that's an op or whatever. I'm like, no, that's not an op. It's just nigger behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't have a readily available clip, but every spring break, I'm sure that you see these sheboons and these groids everywhere they are. They got to start twerking like the apes do. I mean, literally, if I would have known I was going to mention it, I saw a great side-by-side video of a female ape trying to get her ape partner aroused. And then you see all these fucking niggers doing the same thing. I mean, you know what they do? You know, if we would just could fire them up to go to Africa, I know they could create Wakanda over and over again, because they're responsible for all of civilization's great inventions and great improvements. So why are they putting up with living here? Why don't they go to Africa and create dozens of Wakandas? Of course, I'm being facetious.
Yeah, go be surgeons somewhere else.
Right, right, exactly right.
But at the end of the day, the white people have only us white people to depend on to get this done right, and that's it. Just as unimaginable as it seems now that just, you know, in 45, these squadrons of big heavy bombers of our British brothers, our American brothers, came over to the German cities and bombed the fuck out of the German cities. As unimaginable as that seems to be, well, once we figure out the actual, once every last one of our people has understood what has happened to us and what the agenda is, it's game over for all these people, the darkies and the Jews. They're gone. They will be gone. I mean, that's a given. I don't see how they have a hope in hell to survive in our territory when we have understood what has happened and what the agenda is. That's game over.
Yeah. How about England? Here we go. Look at this.
Oh, this is so, the UK, this is the reward. This is how the Jews have rewarded the British for taking care of Germany back in 45.
This white police officer should have grabbed the taser, jammed it into this nigger's neck, and cuffed him. Yeah, yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like, holy shit. I mean, you don't believe what I'm seeing here. This is insane.
Yeah, and Alfred, as you get more comfortable with Twitter, X, it's the best, outside of Telegram, it's the best source to find these little clips. There are literally thousands of angry people, white men and women, putting these up and it's just, what's it going to take? I keep saying it. What's it going to take for the normies to finally wake up? I mean,
this is, oh man,
it's so overdue, long overdue. It's crazy.
That also proves that they cannot censor the truth with this digital technology. The platforms like YouTube and so forth, when they started censoring, okay, the people started going elsewhere, and then they started censoring those. But they cannot censor it forever. At the end of the day, it's all coming out. You know, everything is coming out. And my God, yeah, that's – I just cannot sometimes believe the reality we're seeing around us. And that I can't see how anybody, like you just said, cannot yet get it.
Yep, here's the final meme, and then I'll give each of you brilliant guys the final word. But not all bioweapons come from a lab. There it is right there. Look at that. I mean, you know what's really sad is this kumbaya communism, this phony religious bullshit of, you know, we've been sending these various Christian organizations. We're going to Ethiopia. We're going to save them, and we got the Peace Corps. And so this intervening in a continent where they should be left to self determination. And if they can't feed themselves, it's in the interest of the planet for them to die off. And I don't know if you guys have looked. If I would have known I was going to go there, I have an excellent meme about the tracking the population explosion of Negroids in Africa. See, if we would have just left Africa alone like we should have and just trade fairly, buy the raw materials and whatever they want to do with that money, they do. They can't feed themselves. They can't farm. They can't do anything. And so they would die off. And now instead the kike is controlling the African leadership and now shipping all these subhuman bioweapons to every white European legacy country on the planet. And it's just, it is so disgusting to me. And yet here we are, every day it gets worse. So, all right. All right. So the final, we'll give Alfred, honored guest, the final word, but Davis, why don't you tell everybody how they can follow your excellent, prodigious efforts.
8 to 11 every night on FTJ. That is Monday through Sunday. And Monday through Friday, we have a standard news and analysis with a Friday call-in show. I think I'm going to restructure things soon, but Thursday will always be ladies' night with Based Clash and Based Always Honest. Wednesdays is Scorpio. And so he's got a busy day. He's on with you, and then he's on with me. And Saturdays is like a film review. We recently did Welcome to Leaf. So go back and watch that, guys. It's an exploration in pro-white activism and relocation to try to take a town over. And it's an example of how to do everything wrong. So that's why you want to watch it. Right here in FTJ, other places. But really, best place to be is FTJ.
FTJ, because when you donate to Davis, he gets 97% of your donation. And Davis has got a noble goal to make this his full-time paying gig. Timing is bad because, man, back in the glory days when all those parasites like Brown Tuber were just making big money from all these idiots backing them, and then they fucked it all up with their subversion. And so, but you know what? You're getting closer and closer because your content is elite, and I salute you for it. Right there, Davis Lerman. Support Davis. Go to any one of these videos and click on it, and then you'll get the little green box that you can donate. So help Davis achieve his noble goal of doing this full time. He doesn't need a lot, but he needs enough to take care of his family, and maybe if you can afford to, you can support him in that effort. And so, Alfred, I know you're on Twitter, and I also know that in 2 days – you're going to, let's go up here. There it is. There it is. Those darn Schaefer kids, number 3 in 2 days. That's going to be a great show. And so what's your final thoughts, Alfred?
Well, everything that's happening, I always look at it in the context of a biological response to a biological attack, and it all makes good sense, and it also gives us reason to be optimistic and determined to continue. The people that are not yet on board on our side, if they only knew what they're missing out on, they would be on our side like today, you know? And that's why when David says he has people in his family, well, of course, we all have people in our family who still believe in the silly Holocaust and so forth. These people are, they are just pathetic, beyond pathetic. And they will live with that blemish on their image for the rest of their life. Because anybody who has been found to have believed in that silly infantile superstition in 2025, that's something that's really, really hard to take. I would rather be dead, quite frankly, than have that blemish on my soul. So that's how I look at this whole thing, and I'm optimistic. Things are going nicely. These are pictures of these Negroes, you know, and the audacity with which they insult us on the street openly. I know they're chanting stuff in some UK towns. We're taking this place over. I say, yeah, continue doing that. Enjoy your last few milliseconds in that country. You're going to be dead faster than you could possibly imagine. So that's my last word on that.
That's an excellent last word. I just want to take one brief moment, and your Goombati, Don Giuseppe, totally appreciates donations as well as every host does. So I want to thank Stevel for $16.66 donation, Base Laurie for $10. Thank you so much. And the very generous Thomas Dwyer, who donates just about every show for $5. Thanks so much. Really appreciate any and all donations, as does every host. So don't forget tonight, Davis Lerman, Flood, later at night, Nick Night Nation Review. Dave Gahari is going to be on with Leslie Borey tonight, special show covering the Canadian election, which should be interesting. Then, of course, right after this show on Wednesday will be Alfred and Monica with Those Darn Schaefer Kids number 3. So this is going to be a great week for FTJ and its very intelligent support base of viewers. So everybody have a great rest of the week. God bless us all. And see you on Wednesday.